The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
What a thrill to be under the spout where the glory comes out. I'm telling you, my crank has been turned this morning. You get on patriotic themes, you get chills running all over me. I looked down and my wife Rhonda was weeping and tears streaming, and boy, I'm telling you, I'm about to run all over this place. I tell you what, I'm a little bit troubled over the minimization of our military. I'm troubled about that. This is no time for us to be decreasing our funds to our military. It's time to be increasing. The future of our country depends on our strength of defense. And we need to stand up. It's always been the soldier. And I praise the Lord for that. And I'm Larry Brown, and I approve of this message. And I want you to know. I'm excited this morning. Amen. I'm excited. Boy, I'm about as excited as that old boy. He had only been saved a week. He didn't know Job from Job. He didn't know Psalms from Palms. He didn't know Genesis from generation or Revelation from revolution, but he knew he was born again. I mean, he had been a drinking, cussing, fighting, dope head, womanizing, casino going nut, but he had a head-on collision with Jesus Christ, and he got born again. Sins washed away, and he was happy as a raccoon in the cornfield with the hound dogs tied. And he was sitting there trying to read his Bible. He couldn't make heads or tails out of a lot of it. And he looked out the window, and yonder came a woman walking down the sidewalk. She had a little girl with her, and she had a satchel. He assumed her to be a salesman. She came up his walk and came up on his front porch. He's watching. She knocks on his door. He opens the door. She said, "Sir, we would like to study the Bible with you." "Oh," he said, "that would be wonderful. I love the Bible. But you'll have to come back. My wife's not here. I couldn't invite you in with her not being." "Oh," she said, "we don't have to come in. We can study the Bible right here on the porch." He said, "Wonderful. Let's go at it." Man, she started quoting scripture. See, he didn't know she was Jehovah's Witness. He didn't know that. And and he is just a young convert. But the longer she talked, the more he was convinced that when it came to what the Bible really taught, she was as confused as a termite and a yo-yo. I mean, she didn't know what was up and down. I mean, he didn't know there's anybody in the world that did not believe that Jesus was God. And she didn't. And if you have a Jehovah's Witness friend and you go tell them that I stood in this pulpit and told you that they do not believe that Jesus is God, you know what they'd say to you? They'd say, "The next time you see Pastor Brown, thank him for telling you that. That's one of our cardinal doctrines. We do not believe that Jesus is God." He didn't know there was anybody in the world that didn't believe in salvation by grace, that salvation was a gift of God, but they didn't. They believed in salvation was a combination of a lot of things, including works. He knew that wasn't true. He didn't know there's anybody in the Bible that didn't believe in a literal burning hell. Anybody claimed to be a Christian, but she didn't. She didn't believe in an eternal, literal, burning hell. He didn't know much. He had just got saved, but he knew that much. He knew there was a hell. He didn't know there's anybody in the Bible that didn't believe in celebrating Christmas. But she didn't. He didn't know there's anybody in the Bible. But he didn't know any scripture to tell her. He didn't know what to say. He had just gotten saved. He didn't know there's anybody in the Bible that didn't believe in posting the American flag, standing back saluting the flag and singing "God Bless America." He didn't know there was anybody in the world, but he didn't know any verses to tell her. But she promised she'd come back. He thought, "I'll be ready for her when she comes back." And he got to studying his Bible. Nothing like a little motivation, you know, to get you to learn your Bible. And buddy, I'm telling you, he studied his Bible. He got all the answers, but she didn't come back. You know how it is. You never find one when you're looking for them, you know. But he looked out the window about 3 weeks later, and yonder she came down the sidewalk. Well, it wasn't her, but you can always tell them. Same profile, middle-aged lady with a little girl beside of her, and a satchel. Satchel looked just about like the satchel the other woman was carrying. She came down the sidewalk, started up the walk to his. Before she ever got to his porch, he knocked the front door open, stepped out with that great big old family Bible under his arm.
He began to quote verses on the deity of Christ, the fact that Jesus is God. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. His name shall be called Emmanuel, which is God with us. He is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, the Prince of Truth. But he bombarded that woman for a solid 10 minutes with every verse in the Bible on the deity of Christ and broke out to singing, "All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord." When he got done with that, he began to quote verses on salvation by grace. I mean, a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I mean, he poured it all out on that one. Began to sing Amazing Grace. Sang 14 verses of Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound. When he got done with that, he began to quote verses on hell. He swung that poor woman's soul out over hell for a solid 20 minutes. The smoke of her torments was ascending up forever and ever, day and night. She was gnawing at her tongue and clawing at her eyeballs to stop the pain. The worms were under her, and the worms covered her, and ended up and sang the 99. Sweat was breaking out on her vow. When he got done with that, he began to quote the entire story of the birth of Christ from Luke chapter 2. Quoted it word perfect. I mean, the story of the annunciation of the angels, and then the announcement to Mary, and Joseph's dream, and how the Virgin Mary gave birth to the Son of God, and they rejoiced, and the clouds lit up with glory as the angels announced his appearing and saying, "Joy to the world, the Lord is come." And I mean, silent night, and while shepherds watched their fields. But when he got done with that, he ran over and posted the American flag, stood back and saluted the flag, and began to sing, "God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her with a light from above." And when he got done with that, he looked down at her and said, "Now, woman, what do you think of that?" She looked up at him and said, "Mister, in my 21 years as an Avon lady, I have never had a greeting like that." And there's one woman got her wagon loaded, friend. And I want you to know I'm excited this morning. I'm about to run all over this church house. I celebrate 51 years of preaching this year. And I'm as excited as if I got called to preach last week and I got my first chance this morning. I'm excited. I'm about as excited as that old boy when he got married. He is so nervous. The preacher said, "I now pronounce you man and wife." He kissed his preacher, gave his wife $35, and left with his mama. He was excited. And I want you to know I'm excited this morning. Amen. Well, you about got me going. I got three patriotic messages, and I was tempted to just change my sermon and preach one of them, but I think I'll stay with my game plan from Job chapter number 1. Here's a simple message. Hopefully, we can fit this in somewhat of the time here. I don't have very long to preach, but I'm going to preach till I'm done, and then I'll quit. And I'm going to try to stay within the time frame. Job chapter number 1. "And everyone stand up. Stand up for Jesus, ye soldiers of the cross. Lift high his royal banner. It must not suffer loss." Amen. Job chapter number 1, verse 8. "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And then Satan answered the Lord and said, Doth Job fear God for naught? You think he serves you for nothing? He said, Hast not thou made a hedge about him? I can't get to him. You ask me why I have not considered your servant Job. I can't get to him. He'd be my big 12-point trophy buck to hang on my wall. I'd like to get him, but I can't get him. You got a hedge built around about him and about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance has increased in the land. But you take away what he's got, he'll curse you to your face. You'll find out why he serves you. He serves you because of the blessings of God. He don't serve you because of the God of the blessings. And there's a world of difference. And did you know there may come a time in your life when you will really not know why you serve God until everything you've got has been taken away? And then you'll find out whether you're serving God because of the blessings of God or because of the God of the blessings. And that's a separate sermon, different from where I'm going. But I want to point out to you this. He said, you got a hedge built around about him. I can't get to him. And God says, okay, I'm going to prove something to you. And he pulled the hedge down. And here came the devil. He was smitten with boils from head to toe. His friends turned their back on him. His own wife told him to curse God and die. I mean, he lost everything he had, but he stood true. And God blessed him with twice as much in the end. And sometime no matter how godly you try to live, sometime, no matter how holy you try to be, the hedge comes down. And oftentimes, like Job, you don't know why. But I've done a little Bible study, and I found out that in most cases, the hedge doesn't come down because God is testing us. The hedge comes down because God's having to punish his people. For instance, and I could show you a dozen passages, but I'm going to pray in a minute and let you. Don't worry about sitting there a little bit. You're going to be sitting down a long time before I do. Did you know that? You really are. But I'm thinking now of Isaiah 5, chapter 5, and verse number 1. My well-beloved hath a vineyard in a very fruitful hill. That's God, and his vineyard's his people. And he fenced it. He built a hedge around about it. He fenced it. And it looked that it should bring forth grapes, but it brought forth wild grapes. Didn't produce much. Here's what he said. Now go to, I'll tell you what I'll do to my vineyard. I'll take away the hedge thereof. The hedge, the hedge, the hedge thereof. And it shall be eaten up. And I'll break down the wall thereof, and it shall be trodden down. And God said, I'm going to have to take the hedge down. Now when he did that, do you think God's attitude was, I get to punish them now? Oh, no, 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 no. You don't know anything about the love and the heart and the nature of God if that's what you believe. But when the hedge came down, here's what he did. He said in Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them to stand in the gap and make up the hedge. And Ezekiel 13:5, he indicted his people. You've not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge. He said, you need to get in the hedge building business. And that's what I'm going to preach to you about. We need to get in the hedge building business. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'll bless the message, and I pray that you'll make the message live in our hearts this morning. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you've done. I pray that you'll make it live. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated, please. We need to get in the hedge building business. Number one, we need to hedge up the lost. We need to hedge up lost people. I knew a great preacher. I picked him up at the airport years ago. I took him to my home church to preach. God had used him in a magnificent way to stir in revival fires on two continents. And I heard him tell his testimony. I don't know much about his daddy, but his mother was an old-timey praying child of God. And she prayed for him to be saved, but he wasn't saved. And he came up through his teenage years and he still wasn't saved. And the more she prayed, the more rebellious he got. But one night, she just kept on praying. Till the light breaks through, the Lord will answer. He'll answer you. And God keeps his promise. And his word is true. Just keep on praying. And she just kept on praying. It was 9:30, 10, 10:30, 11, 11:30, 12. And sometime before the sun streaked up across the sky the next morning, so that unexplainable something we cannot put into words, that wonderful peace that steals in over our souls when we, as old Dr. John Rice used to call it, praying through. And we prayed until we know God answered our prayer. And God gave her the peace and assurance. He saved. He saved. You can forget it. It's done. It's a done. Boy, she came jumping up from there. Woo! Shouting. And I mean, she had a hallelujah, Baptist, glory to God, running, slobbering fit. She got so excited, she ran out in the street and was telling everybody, he's saved. He's saved. James is saved. And that worked real good till somebody told James. James, I heard the good news. What'd you hear? Heard you got saved. Who told you I got saved? Well, your mother did. Your mother said you got saved. My mother told you I got saved. Yeah, she's telling everybody you're saved. My mother's lost her ever-loving mind. I'm not saved. I'm lost. I'm going to play football and go to hell. And you tell my mother I said so. The next day, James, we heard the good news. You heard a lie. My mama's stone crazy. She's embarrassing me to tears, going around telling everybody I'm saved. I'm not saved. I'll play football and go to hell. And you tell my mother I said. And about 3 days after that, he was playing football. And in the, according to his testimony, in a football game, he was so seized with conviction of the Holy Spirit of God. He said, I remember thinking, dear God, if you let me live till this ball game's over, I'll get saved. And as soon as the game was over, he rushed aside, found a private place of prayer, knelt down and looked up. Oh, God! Oh, God! Oh, God, save me! Just so happened God was on call that night. Matter of fact, just so happened he always is. Matter of fact, just so happens, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Brother, when God saved him right there on his knees, he come bouncing up from there about like his mama did when God answered her prayer. He went running, leaping, skipping, jumping home. Mama, mama, I got saved. She said, calm down, James, calm down. Been enjoying it for a week and a half, boy, calm down. That man's in heaven this morning. And I'm going to tell you why he died and went to heaven instead of hell. An old-timey mama got in the hedge building business. And I'm speaking to people all over this room, and you've got children, in-laws, outlaws, and loved ones, and neighbors, and mamas, and daddies, and grandmas, and grandpas, and brothers and sisters, and you're going to let them go to hell when you could. You say, well, Pastor, no use to worry about them. Everybody in the county's tried to talk to them. And besides, they're involved in a cult, and they're involved in some religion that don't agree with us, and they got turned off by somebody that meant well. They ain't no use to worry. Let me tell you something. They're not beyond the reach of Almighty God. His hand is not short that he cannot save. God can save your loved ones. And we ought to be ashamed of ourselves for not getting in the hedge building business. We need to hedge up the lost. I was preaching in Lebanon, Ohio with Dr. David Gibbs. And he told this story in person in my hearing. He said, I got on a plane the other day and sat down beside of a businessman. And he said he was a middle-aged, infidel, cussing, foul-mouthed businessman. Said, I sat down beside of him. Said, the Spirit of God says witness to him. Said, I turned to him and said, let me ask you a question. He said, yeah. He said, do you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? He said, what? About that time, the lady on the other side of him, three seats side, lady on the other side of him said, sir, she is a Christian. She said, sir, I think what he's asking you are you a Christian? He looked at her, looked back at Dr. Gibbs and said, that's private. Dr. Gibbs said, okay. Dr. Gibbs said, I said to the Lord, well, Lord, there it is. I did it. I hope you're happy. He said, I just reached down my briefcase, pulled my Bible out, laid it on the tray. About that time, stewardess came down the aisle. This dude had ordered a cocktail. She came down the aisle. She had a cocktail on the tray. She stopped. She looked down at Dr. Gibbs. She said, sir, is that a Bible? He said, yes, ma'am, that's a Bible. She said, I got a problem. He said, what's your problem? She said, I got a problem. This man's ordered this cocktail. I've got a problem passing this cocktail over that Bible to this man. Dr. Gibbs looked up and said, well, now, we do have a problem, don't we? In other words, what you're asking me to do is push the Word of God aside to make room for liquor. About that time, this dude left him and said, well, I didn't even know he was a preacher or had a Bible when I ordered the thing. I don't even want the stupid thing now. She said, oh, well, that settles it. She just went right up the aisle and took it back. Dr. Gibbs said, I sat there and said, I could feel that fellow looking over my shoulder trying to see my Bible. To make a long story short, he picked a conversation with that fella. And before the plane wheels burnt the runway in Washington State, that old boy had bowed his head and prayed and asked God to save him and got born again. And when he led his preacher, you got to talk to my mama. He said, I ain't got time to talk to your mama. I'm head of a Christian law association. I've got to help churches about litigation to keep them free. No, but you don't understand. You got to. About that time, he had his mama on the line. Mama, you'll never believe what happened a while ago. He said, I could hear his mother. His elderly mother on the other end of the line say, honey, you got saved, didn't you? He said, yeah, mama, and you'll never believe how it happened. I was talking to this lawyer. She said, honey, it's all right. God can use lawyers too. It's okay. Don't worry about it. And he said, but I, and she, he said, Dr. Gibbs, my mama wants to speak to you. Said, I took the line, and this sweet elderly lady on the other end of the line said, Dr. Gibbs, I don't know you, and I will never meet you, but I want to thank you for telling my son about Jesus. She said, said 30 days ago, I witnessed to him the last time and said he walked out and drugged me back. Said, I fell at his feet. He said, if you ever mention that to me again, you'll never be my mother again. And said, I fell weeping and grabbed his ankles and he walked backwards and drugged me on the floor and walked out. She said, that's been 30 days ago. Not one bite of food has gone in this mouth in 30 days since he left. She said, I've been fasting and praying 30 days without a bite of solid food of any kind in her mouth. She said, I woke up this morning and she said, I was so weak. I couldn't get out of bed. And I looked up and said, dear Lord Jesus, I'm not asking you to send him a good Christian today. I'm just asking you to send him a Christian today, a faithful Christian, to witness to him. And she said, Dr. Gibbs, I'll never meet you, but I want to thank you for telling my son about Jesus. And that old boy someday will die and go to heaven because he had an old-timey mama that got in the hedge building business. And you've got loved ones, and you've got neighbors, and you've got friends, and you got people out yonder on a bus route somewhere. They're just as sure of hell as if they were already screaming in the flames unless somebody gets in the hedge building business. Oh, yeah. Number two, we need to hedge up the lost. We need to hedge up tough cases. I love this passage in Hosea chapter 2 and verse 5, and I'll just read it to you if you want to save you from turning. Their mother hath played the harlot. She hath conceived them that had done shamefully. She said, I'll go after my lovers that give me my bread, my water, my wool, my flax, my oil, and my drink. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns. Here's a bad woman. Here's a woman chasing men around. Here's a woman paying men to come in where she is. What are you going to do about the tough cases? What are you going to do about the hard cases? Here's what God says, do about it. Therefore, behold, I will hedge up thy way with thorns and make a wall that she shall not find her path. We need to hedge them up with thorns. And everywhere, and it goes on to say here, she'll say, I will follow after my lovers, but she shall not overtake them. She said, I'll go and return to my first husband, for then was it better with me than now. Hedge her up. Everywhere she goes, it just sticks her. She can't make sin work for her anymore. I don't know whatever happened to John Todd. Some people say the underworld killed him. Maybe they did. I wouldn't be surprised. And if you heard his testimony like I did, you wouldn't be surprised either. When he was born, I heard his testimony. When he was born, his mother was a witch and his daddy was a warlock. That's a male witch. Before he was born, they prayed demons into his body. Just like you'd pray for your child before they're born to arrive safely and be blessed of God. They prayed demons into that child's body before he was born. Said when he was born, he said, I grew up in witches' covens and Satanist churches, drinking human blood and doing a whole lot of other things you wouldn't want to hear about, trust me. He said, I was working in an occult bookstore. He said, I was stocking these occultic books. And he said, I had a box full of them. And he said, a preacher came in the front of the store, several people working in the store, said a preacher came in the front of the store whose daughter had run away from home and he was trying to find her. And he was showing her picture and nobody had seen her. He said, do you have anybody else work here? They said, yeah, we got a boy. John works in the back. He's back here right now stocking books. They get him out here. I want to talk to him. They said, John's the guy you want to talk to. He came out and he said this. He said, son, have you ever seen this girl? I think she was about 16 years old. Said he looked down at her and said, no, I never saw her before in my life. He said, well, if you ever do, would you let me know? He said, sure, I'll call you. He said, well, here's some cards, got my telephone number on it. You take that and call. Now watch this. Watch this. He said, yeah, I'll call you. He said, he started to turn, and that fellow said, hey, let me ask you a question. Do you know, son, if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? He said, I busted out laughing in his face. I said, preacher, you're stupid, and that book you hold in your hand is a myth. There's no Bible but my Bible, and that's the Satanist Bible. There's no God but my God, and that's Satan. I've watched my God pick up people and put them right out in midair. I've watched my God open and close drawers where nobody was in the room and put a wind in there with no windows open to blow all around. I've watched my God speak out loud and say things that no human voice would say. Have you ever seen your God do anything like that? He said, he looked at me with the eyes of compassion and said, son, you know what your problem is. He said, no, what's my problem? He said, son, your problem is the devil's got your mind. You can't think right about God of the Bible. He said, son, you know what I'm going to do for you? He said, no, what are you going to do for me? He said, I'm going to pray a hedge around about your mind. Shut the devil out and put God in long enough for you to get saved. He said, preacher, I laughed. He said, preacher, you can do anything you want to. It's not going to affect me that much. He said, I didn't get it out of my mouth till he had his hand on my shoulder. He said, dear Jesus, here's a young man praying out loud. Dear Jesus, here's a young man, and the devil's got his mind. Lord, drive the devil back. And he did his hand and did like this all around his head and build a fence around his brain and shut the devil out and put the Holy Spirit in at least long enough for him to think about God a little bit. In Jesus' name, amen. Jerked his hand down. He said, I laughed. I thought, what a nut. He went on out the door. Son, you'll be all right. He said, I shook my head. I thought, what an idiot. He said, I went back and reached down. I got one of those books, those old occultic books. Said, I slid it on the shelf. Said, when I did, thought hit my mind. What if he's right? He said, God being my witness, that's the first time a serious thought about God of the Bible had ever passed through my brain. What if he's right? He said, I shook it off. I reached down and got another book. And he said, I slid that book on the shelf. And it hit me again. What if he's right? What if he's right? He said, I couldn't shake it. What if he's right? What if there really is a heaven and a hell? What if Jesus Christ really is the Son of God and God the Son? What if I'm one heartbeat from a devil's hell every moment I live? What if it's the only way to heaven and my soul is swinging out over hell every second that I live? What if he's right? What if he's right? He said, I couldn't shake it. I couldn't get it out of my mind. Said it was driving me nuts. Couldn't wait for quitting time. He went out and got in the car, cranked that rock music open so loud it was loosening the screws in the dash. And buddy, he said, over and above the driving woofer and bass beat of that heavy metal music was the words of God. I mean, that music, bong, 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 bong. But he said, louder than that was the voice of the Holy Spirit. What if he's right? What if he's right? What if he said, I ran home. I got dressed. I was running. I was hysterical. Said, I was running. I got dressed, went downtown to see a good old dirty movie. Said, with nothing to get my mind centered back on Satan, a good old filthy movie would do it. He said, I ran in. I was late. I'd missed the previews. Didn't have time to get my popcorn. Sat down in the seat, and the film was just starting, and said when the film started, a great big red cross came out of the background, and the title of the movie was The Cross and the Switchblade. Now, The Cross and the Switchblade was a charismatic movie produced by a charismatic Assemblies of God preacher by the name of Dave Wilkerson, who went to the streets of New York City years ago and won a lot of those street kids to the Lord. Though we would not agree with a lot of his doctrine, he was a saved man and did a lot of good and reached a lot of people. They wrote a book on one of his main characters named Nikki, and from that book, the movie was made, The Cross and the Switchblade. But the point is this. The point is, in the providence of God, God smacked the cross right in that boy's face. He said, when I saw that cross, I jumped up and ran out of that place. He said, I was scared, didn't know where I was going or what I was doing. Said, I went back down toward the car. And he said, as I was going down the sidewalk, there was a fellow come lackadaisically walking up the sidewalk, looked like he had all day to get somewhere. And said, just as I got to him, I was passing him. Just as I got to him, he stuck a piece of paper in my stomach and said, do you know if you died right now, you'd go to heaven? Ah! He got saved. And I'm going to tell you why he got saved. Somebody built a hedge around his brain. Somebody got in the hedge building business. I'm going to tell you something. Little Johnny Cowper made a profession when he was 10. His daddy was an old-fashioned praying man. But Johnny got more rebellious. And when he was 15, his dad said, son, we got a Christian home. You can't live that way. You can't drink like that. You can't talk like that and live in this house. So he ran away from home. Started hanging out with a rough crowd at a bar called the Gates of Hell. And the reason it was called the Gates of Hell is because the proprietor, the owner of the bar, would get drunk and act like he was preaching And all the drunks would stand around the bar and holler amen and blasphemy to God. One night, Billy was in there, and he said, I sort of drunk crawled up on the bar. He said, ladies and gentlemen, we haven't had a lot of preaching around here. But tonight, we're not going to have any preaching. We're going to have communion. Now, I want everybody to raise your glass. And Billy said, I raised my glass. He said, when I did, I looked at it. And said, when I looked at it, the Holy Spirit of God said, put it down, you fool. Put it down. He said, I threw it on the floor and broke it and backed off of it like a rattlesnake. A friend standing by said, what's wrong, Billy? He said, I don't know. I don't know. He said, are you sick? He said, I don't know. He said, I got to go home. Home? You can't go home. I got to go home. His old timey daddy was home praying a hedge around about him. He said, I got to go home. He went home, left the bar, went straight home, and got born again that night. And the next morning, he came down the steps and saw his old dad standing there in the dining room. And he said, Dad, you know, I woke up this morning, I was thinking I was that close to blaspheming the blood of Jesus with liquor. And he said, I thought, what would you think if I wrote a song that glorified the blood of Jesus? And his dad said, son, I think that would be a wonderful idea. And he pulled out that old quill pen and wrote these words. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty state. And if you were to open your hymn book right now and look at There is a fountain filled with blood, you'd see the name William Cowper. And he was little Billy Boy Cowper. And now, as Paul Harvey says, you know the rest of the story. And somebody got in the hedge building business. We need to get in the hedge building business about the lost. We need to get in the hedge building business about the tough cases. The Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. We just need to start praying for people and praying a hedge around about people. You'd see, we need to build a hedge around our churches. I don't have time to preach on that one. That's another 20 minutes. I'll skip that. We need to build a hedge around our families. Matthew 21:33. Hear another parable. There was a certain householder that planted a vineyard and hedged it round about. The householder is the head of the home. The vineyard is the wife and children. Thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine, and thy children like olive plants round about the table. Hello? And he said, he hedged it. You better get a fence built around your family. You better get a fence built around your house. Oh, yeah. I asked Dr. Glenn Jaspers when my children were small. Dr. Glenn pastored the Great Fellowship Baptist Church in Marshalltown, Iowa. I said, Dr. Jasper, you got four children, all of them in the ministry or married to somebody that is. What? I said, I see better men than me and their children go to the devil. It scares the fire out of me. What did you do to see your children turn out like it did? He said, oh, Brother Brown, I didn't do much. I said, well, how do you explain the way they turned out? He said, it's my wife's fault. I said, your wife's fault? He said, yeah. I said, what'd she do? Well, she'd get up an hour before I would. I'd go by the boys' room, going down to get my cup of coffee of a morning. Said she'd be standing in Dave and Steve's room. Steve pastored the church, and Dave became Bible college president, Independent Baptist Bible College president. Said, I came by the boys' room, Dave and Steve, and they'd be in their respective beds. And said, my wife would get up, put her house coat on, and go down there in the dark and walk in the room. Said, I could see her silhouette from the nightlight outside. Said she'd be standing there with her hand on the bedpost. Said she'd stand there a solid hour every morning of her life. He said, that was it. God answered her prayer. I was preaching New England State for Nate Garnett. I'd been with him several times. It was a morning session. His brother Ralph, an evangelist, was there. His brother David, who pastored the same church over 20 years, was there. And then there was his sister that was saved. They were all glorious Christians. So I said, Brother Garnett, I guess you must have had a godly upbringing. Oh, no. He said, my daddy was a drunk. My mama was lost. He said, I grew up in a heathen, cussing, fighting, a mess of a house. I said, how do you explain the way all y'all turned out? Oh, he said, it was grandma's fault. I said, what'd grandma do? He said, well, she got so old she couldn't take care of herself. So we took her in and gave her a room in the back of the house. Said us boys would be out drinking, carousing around with a bunch of sorry girls. Said we'd come in late at night, about half drunk. Said every night when we'd come in, we'd hear this little squeaky voice in the back of the house. Dear Jesus,
Them boys are out there tonight cussing and drinking and carrying on with them slutty girls. Oh, God, every one of them's going to die and go right on to hell. Oh, God, stop them. Oh,
he said, we had to listen to that every night when we came in. He said, that'll get on your nerves after a while. Amen. I don't care if you are half drunk. That'll get on your nerves after a while. He said, we had to listen to that every night until every one of us got saved and every one of us gave our life to God. Hey, you can get in the hedge building business. Let me tell you something. I've got 7 children. To my knowledge, not one of them's ever took a drink. All 7 of them are saved. All 7 of them went to Bible college. All 7 of them are happily married to godly Christian. All 7 of them are in a Baptist church this morning somewhere, scattered from California to Tanzania, Africa as missionaries. But I'm going to tell you something. I watched the devil turn the head of every one of my children. I saw the devil when he came and knocked and tried to get their attention. You say, what do you do? I knew I couldn't preach enough. I knew I couldn't live holy enough to change it. Because I saw better preachers than me watch their children go to the devil. But I said to my wife said to me, honey, what are we going to do with this kid? I mean, here she is 12 years old. She's got an attitude. What are we going to do? I said, well, we're not going to wait till she's 18, standing us up here looking at us and telling us what she's going to do and not going to do. I said, we're going to get in the hedge building business. And every night before we'd go to sleep, we had our personal devotions of a morning. We had our family devotions when I'd come home. Then we had our own husband and wife prayers. We'd kneel by our bed. I'd slip my arm around her shoulders, and we would talk out loud about that girl to God. And there's power in that, mamas and daddies. There's power in that. I know it'd be as awkward as screen doors on a submarine the first time you did it, but you ought to do it anyway. God will honor that. God will bless that. I dare you. I dare you. I dare you to do it. I double dog dare you to do it. And just watch and see what happens in the attitude of your children. I'm going to tell you something. You can bring your children. You can park them on a church pew in the Parkside Baptist Church. You can put them in the Christian school. You can put them in the youth choir. You can put them at every youth activity of God. But if God don't get in on it, they're going to go to the devil anyway. Amen. They're going to go to the devil anyhow. Oh boy, you get God in on it. You get in the hedge building business. And you'll see God do great and wonderful things. I've got about 5 minutes here. Let me close. There's so much I'd like to say here. So much, 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 much. I'm leaving out the heavy part of this message. But let me give you this. We need to hedge up ourselves. I remember I joined the Calvary Baptist Church when I was 12, but I was lost and knew it. I joined the Wayside Baptist Church, an independent Baptist church. The first church was Southern Baptist. The second church was an independent Baptist. I still lost and knew it. I went to Piedmont Bible College to prepare for the ministry, lost and knew it. And I was laying there on the bed in my dorm 3 days after I arrived at college. My roommate was laying over there. It was a good Christian boy. And I said to myself, Brown, you know what you're going to do? You're going to keep fooling around and go to hell. That's exactly what you're going to do. I mean, you're one heartbeat from eternity every moment you live, and you're going to keep ding-donging around and die and go to hell, and every preacher in the country is going to preach you right into heaven because you were a faithful church member and because you sang in the choir and because you taught a Sunday school class and because you were a preacher. I was. Preached at Dan River Church one night. As clear a gospel as I'm preaching right now. A teenage girl came down the aisle bawling. I said, somebody show this girl how to be saved. The reason I said that is because I wouldn't save myself and knew it. I never doubted my salvation until after I got saved. I knew I wasn't saved. I knew I was lost. I knew I was. And I was laying there, and I said to myself, Brown, you know what you're going to do. You're going to keep fooling around and die and go to hell. And I sat straight up in the bed and says, I will not. And I said, live, die, sink, swim, get fat or die skinny. Before this day's over, I'm going to know that I'm saved. I said, buddy. He said, He's laying there trying to sleep. I said, get up. He got up and looked at me like, what happened? I said, buddy, I'm lost. He said, what do you mean lost? I said, I'm lost. What kind of lost? I said, the kind of lost that goes to hell and burns forever without God. Oh, Larry, you're not lost. And he started giving me verses of assurance from the book of Romans, the Romans Road. And he came down to Romans 10:13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I remember thinking, Lord, I have called on you. And it seemed like the Lord said, yeah, you called on me waiting for a feeling. You called on me wanting an emotional experience. You called on me waiting for something I never promised to give. But you didn't call on me and just take me at my word. I said, well, Lord, I have prayed and asked you to save me. And the Bible says, for whose Lord, I must be saved. It was at that precise second I placed my faith in what God said. It's not praying that saves you. If so, every Catholic and Muslim in the world would be going straight to heaven. It's not praying that saves you. It's faith. You're saved by grace through faith. And that not of your works. It is a gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And the moment I agreed with God, the moment I put my faith in what he promised, I was saved. And I knew I was saved. I didn't cry, shout, jump, and speak in some tongue nobody knew, but I was saved. I just stood up. I had not told him I got saved, but I just put my faith in the Lord. He said, where are you going? I said, I'm going out in the hall. I feel better now. He just stared at me. I walked out. I'll never forget. I walked out in the hall and I said, how did I make this so hard? Why didn't I get this settled a long time ago? Lord, I could have died and gone to hell while I've been worrying about this. I just built a hedge around by myself and says, I ain't leaving this room till I know I'm born again. Get it settled. The road to hell is paved with good intentions. There's a million people in hell that intended to get saved. But they didn't just say, the buck is going to stop here. I will not go another day. I will not go another hour. I will not go another moment. Without knowing I'm saved, there's nobody in this room that could stand up and intelligently tell me that you won't die by blowing through a windshield and dropping on the hood with your blood draining out of your head and meet God within 10 minutes of when you walk out those doors. There's nobody here that can't tell me that intelligently. And it could happen to me, but if it does, I'll be kicking up gold dust before you ever hear about it. We need to get in the hedge building business about our own selves. Bow your heads and close your eyes. I wonder how many folks are here this morning.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.